The Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter. Now, aren't you glad to know, listen to me real good, aren't you glad to know that our salvation has come? Our salvation has come. And that's what I want to minister to you and talk with you a little bit this morning. I'm not trying to give you something that you hadn't already heard, but I want to stir up what you already have in you. Now, if you haven't heard it, that's good. Amen. But how many of you know we need stirring up? Yeah. We need stirring up. And that's the reason we're told to assemble ourselves together, and that's assembling also around the Word of God so that we can stay stirred up, amen, constantly being filled, amen, constantly being charged with the Word of God, hallelujah. And so we're going to go on a little journey here in Luke chapter 2. And most of it will be in this second chapter, I believe. But I want to take you some other places as well, if I have the time. But in Luke chapter 2, you know, it talks to us, it tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it talks about the angels announcing his birth, or the angel of the Lord, I should say, announcing his birth to the shepherds. So I just want to begin there and read a little bit, and you can just follow along with me. I'm going to begin reading at verse 8, because I want you to grab a hold of this. I want you to get this in your spirit. Amen. I want it to change your life. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them." Hallelujah. "And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of what?'" I'm going to finish that verse, but I want you to notice something here. It says, "Behold, I bring to you good tidings." Good tidings. You see that? Hallelujah. Not just tidings, but good tidings. Of what kind of joy? Huh? Hallelujah. Good tidings of great joy. I just don't understand why some folks they're not excited about their salvation. I mean, this was so important that the angel of the Lord came ahead in the glory of the Lord to announce the arrival of the Son of God. Good tidings of great joy. And I love this. And I love this. Which will be to all people. Now, when it's worded like that, guess what? That includes me. That includes me. That includes you. Hallelujah. Jesus came for me, and Jesus came for you. And I tell folks this sometime, I believe this with all my heart. Pat, we got a couple of Pats on the front row, but I'm talking to this Pat. Pat, if you were the only one on earth that needed salvation, Jesus would have still come. Think about that for a moment. If you or me were the only one on the earth that was lost and needed a Savior, Jesus would have still come. God wouldn't have had the attitude, oh, it's just James. We won't worry about him. He'd have still come. Amen. Those of you watching the live stream, if you were the only one that needed salvation, Jesus would have still come for you. Amen. But the fact of the matter is the whole world needed it. The whole world needed it, and he came. Hallelujah. And he came to save all people. Sad, though, not all people is going to receive him. And let me read on. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, upon that announcement, look what happened. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The heavenly hosts. Praising God. Saying peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. Some people get that confused. Peace has been offered to each and every one of us, and I accepted his offer. But not everybody do. And the only way we're going to, listen to me. The only way we're going to have peace among men is when Jesus Christ comes back and straighten this mess out. Amen. You notice that didn't say peace among men. It says peace toward men. Which means we have to make a decision to receive the peace of God in our lives. Amen. Are you still here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's continue on with the story. And if I have, I'm leading up to something, and hopefully I have time to finish. But now let's look at verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, we shouldn't keep the things of God a secret. Many years ago, I was on the phone with a fella. And while I was on the phone, I asked him, I said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Now, this was a lot of years ago. And his response to me was, that's my business. And my relationship with the Lord is a personal thing between me and him. In other words, he was telling me nobody else was involved. His relationship with God was strictly his business. I didn't say anything. I respected his wishes. First thing came to my mind is he probably don't have one, a relationship with God. Because we're not to keep this a secret. Amen. Heaven rejoiced, didn't it? Heaven rejoiced. Matter of fact, Jesus himself told us to go into all the world, spread this gospel, spread this word. Let the people know salvation has come. Jesus came. You don't have to stay where you are. You've heard me share this story before, and I share it with you now. I told you back when I was working for the county, they would give us an hour lunch, and sometime I would walk and pray during my lunch hour. And I remember doing my prayer. I know exactly where I was. In town of Chesterfield, on the sidewalk, close to the highway department there. And I was walking back towards the courthouse, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me, he says, I want you to tell people that they do not have to stay where they are. In other words, he was telling me to let folk know you can have a life-changing experience. People need to hear it, folks. You listen to me? People must hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Not just faith for stuff, but saving faith comes by hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still here? Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So verse 17, again, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Man, they went preaching. Hallelujah. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned. What were they doing? Huh? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to move right along here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We also know, and we're still in the book of Luke, that John the Baptist was also born about the time that Jesus was. Matter of fact, scriptures talk about John before they do Jesus. And he was known as the forerunner. And I'm skipping a lot here for the sake of time, but we know that Jesus grew and matured. And around the age of 30, John the Baptist, that is, was baptizing. And Jesus came to John to be baptized in water. Amen? You still with me? He came to John to be baptized in water. Now, I'm still talking about this Jesus that was born in a manger. After John baptized Jesus, reluctantly, he did. He didn't feel like he was worthy to baptize Jesus. The Word of God tells us, and this is in Luke chapter 3, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And I like what God the Father says. Look at the 22nd verse. Matter of fact, let's back it up to verse 21. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You, listen at this, folks. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. In you I am well pleased." Hallelujah. Are you still with me? You following me? We're skipping a lot, but I'm bringing you somewhere. Now, let's go on over to the fourth chapter of Luke. Let's look at verse 1. Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. First verse, fourth chapter. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, in Matthew's version, it states that Jesus had been tempted, was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Now, Luke just says 40 days, but it was 40 days and 40 nights. Nice. Y'all still with me? Yeah. Hallelujah. So verse 2 again, Luke 4, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Now, I'm going to finish that, but I want you to understand something. Hold your place there at Luke chapter 4. because we're coming back. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Y'all hanging in there with me, right? Now, before I read Hebrews 4, remember, the Word of God tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You have to understand something, that Jesus, just like we are tempted, Jesus was tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, listen to this. I'll begin at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Are you ready for verse 15? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with what? Are you still with me? We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are. I'm so glad to know that I have a Savior that can sympathize with me. He knows what it's like to go through what I've been through or what I may be going through. Let me say this again. He knows what it is like to go through what you may be going through or feeling what you may be feeling. That's the reason he's such a wonderful high priest. Because he's not sitting up on high, disconnected from his people. Hallelujah. Verse 15 again. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but, look at this, but was in what? All points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah, glory to God. He was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. And that qualifies him to be our high priest. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, say, salvation has come. Glory to God. And of course, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I hope y'all got that. I hope you got that. I'm going to tell you something. Folk can act cute if they want to. But this fella here don't mind running to Jesus. If I blow it somewhere, you better believe I'm running to Jesus to get this thing right. If I mess up, I'm going to Jesus to get it right. If I offend my wife, I'm going to ask her forgiveness and I'm going to ask his forgiveness. If I offend you and I'm aware of it, I'm going to ask your forgiveness and I'm going to ask his forgiveness. Are you still here? Now, I ain't going to apologize to you for preaching the Word of God. Now, if you get offended at the Word of God, that's between you and God. Now, I promise you, I'm going to preach you the word of God with the right attitude in the spirit of love and not with a judgmental attitude. Yet, on the other hand, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I have to answer to God for that one. But I'm going to do it in love. But in my, me as James, if I offend you, and I'm made aware of it, I'll be quick to apologize and ask God to forgive me. Because I understand he was tempted in all points, just like we are, but he didn't sin so that I could have a way out, so that you could have a way out. And let me give you an example of this. You familiar with it? This is just one example. Go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is verse 1, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. Afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, see, he had to be tempted, or else how could he deliver us? The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. All right, now the devil is questioning his deity. Can I tell you something? He's still up to his old tricks. What is the old saying, the leopard can't change his spots, something like that? I've heard that before. I want you to understand something. He'll try the same thing on you. If you really a Christian, if you really saved, why don't you prove it by doing this or by doing that? Can I help you all with something? I know some of you know this already, but believe it or not, some people don't. You don't have to obey the devil in anything. Amen. You don't have nothing to prove to him. Jesus didn't have anything to prove to him. So he said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But what the Bible does not say in verse 4, where that Jesus said, okay. No. It says, but Jesus answered him saying, it is written. And I always tell you folks, you know, if you're going to take a stand, if you're going to take a stand, if you're going to be victorious, you got to have something on the inside of you. And that something that you got to have on the inside of you is the Word of God. You hear me? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Jesus did not say, come here, Mr. Devil, I'll knock you out. I got a bad right hook. I'm going to just let you have. No. It wasn't a flesh and blood thing. You hear me? It's not a flesh and blood thing. Jesus said when he was physically hungry, we know that because he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So he was physically hungry. The Bible says he was hungry. So the devil would try to tempt him at his weakest point. Somebody say amen. Amen. Watch out for your weak points. Cover your weak points with the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes you need to remember what your weak points were before you got saved. Because just because you get saved don't mean that the devil's not going to tempt you again in that very same area that you used to have problems with. Are you still here? Jesus was hungry. His body was hungry. He wasn't hungry spiritually, but his body was hungry for food. Amen. And that's the area he was attacked by the enemy. And he was questioned, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and eat. After all, you're the Son of God. You can do that. Turn these stones into bread. But there's a problem with that. And the problem is the devil told him to do it. Amen. All right, let's move on. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And can I say something else to you? You may not have one slice of bread in your refrigerator, but if you follow the word of God, the bread will come. Are you hearing me? Get full of the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. We got to live by the word of God. Amen. Then the devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. I heard it said years ago that the devil was lying to Jesus because he didn't have anything, he didn't own anything to give him. But you know what? Adam had delivered it to him. You hear me? Adam had delivered it. That's the reason they had to get out of the garden. Now he was offering it to Jesus. Can I help y'all with something? He has plenty to offer you too. Things that are pleasant to the eyes. Things that feel good, look good, sound good. But behind all the paint and the glitter, it's not good. Because had Jesus taken him up on that, we would still be lost today. Probably by now, all of us would be in hell. Now, listen to this. Verse 7, therefore, if you will what? If you will what? All will be yours. If you will worship me, all will be yours. Satan, who's also known as Lucifer, wanted to be like the Most High. Before he fell, that's the reason he fell, but he didn't change his attitude because he fell. When he was kicked down to the earth, he still wanted to be like the Most High. In the year 2022, I got news for you. He still wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be worshipped. You hear me? He wants to be worshiped. The Bible says pride was found in him. Can't you see it today in people's lives? This is one of the most selfishest times in my life, it's all about me. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. What about my needs? What about me? What about what I want? You know, it's all about me, 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 me. When Jesus taught, it's better to consider the other person. It's better to give to the other person. It's better to help someone else. You look out for someone else, God says, I'll look out for you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it's gotten into the church. It's gotten into the ministry. But that's another sermon for another time. But he said in verse 7, if you will worship me, all will be yours. And Jesus did what? He answered him and said, what? Get behind me, Satan. For what? It is written. Don't you think Jesus was full of the word of God? You shall worship who? The Lord your God, and him only shall you shall serve. Glory to God. Y'all stay with me a little longer, a little bit. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get frustrated. You say, I've resisted the devil. I resisted the devil. I stood on the word of God, and things haven't just haven't changed yet. Jesus went through that too. He resisted the devil when he tempted him to turn stones into bread. He resisted the devil when he tempted him to give him all the kingdoms of the world. But the devil didn't quit. Then he brought, this is verse 9, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, notice again, he's questioning who he is. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now, he's trying to use what you call it, reverse psychology or whatever you want to say, on Jesus. For it is written. Jesus didn't say that, the devil did. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Go ahead and jump off, Jesus, because you know what it says. He'll keep you. And look at verse 11. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Can I tell you something? Don't you ever forget this. Devils know scripture too. And they will use it against you if you do not know the truth. But Jesus didn't argue with him. Says, no, 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 Satan, that's not what the Bible says. No, no. Jesus just said, answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended every temptation, what did he do? He departed from him until an opportune time. Just because you win one battle don't mean you won't have to fight again. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just about to close, but I want to say this to you. That baby that was lying in a manger grew up and became a man. He endured temptation. Life was tough. But he did not yield to temptation. Are you still at Luke chapter 4? Now, after Jesus' encounter with the devil, he left there the winner, by the way. You know that, right? Now, yeah, amen, brother, full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 14 says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, Jesus came, that little baby laying in a manger came to set us free. Having endured the temptations of the devil, having endured 40 days of fasting, being baptized by John the Baptist, having received the Holy Ghost, now Jesus says this, and you receive this, every one of you. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And by the way, before I move on, let me say this. It is good, and we are told throughout the scripture to help the poor, aren't we? I said, aren't we? We are told to help the poor. We are told to give to the poor. Amen. But the poor needs more than our food. The poor needs more than money. The poor needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there another amen out there somewhere? They need to hear the word of the Lord because Jesus came. He said he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And that's not just spiritually poor. You either spiritually dead or you're spiritually alive. But not only did he send him to preach the gospel to the poor, he said, listen to this. He said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That little baby laying in that manger was laying there because he wanted to touch your life. He wanted to change your life. He came to heal the brokenhearted. I ministered this past Wednesday night about the fact that this holiday season is one of the most trying times for many people, me I rejoice over it. I thank God for this season that Jesus came. But hear me good, and I said it Wednesday night, I'll repeat it again. There is a lot of demonic activity going on during this period of time. There are a lot of depressed people. There are people that literally hate this time of the year because it's depressing to them for one reason or another. Sometimes it's a memory of a loved one. And you could go on and on. We just heard over the news, some famous guy, the last week sometime, committed suicide, had everything he could ever want. The money, the fame, whatever, committed suicide. Now, why would somebody do that if you got everything you want? Well, evidently, he didn't have everything. He might have had everything he wanted, but he didn't have everything he needed. He needed Jesus in his life. Are you listening to me? He needed Jesus in his life. Listen to me. It should never get to the point where you are ready to take your own life. There is an answer, and his name is Jesus. That has promised us that he would give us that peace that passes all understanding. I know things can get frustrating sometimes, get aggravated. But that's the reason the Bible tells us to cast all of our cares upon him. Lord, I'm aggravated. I'm aggravated at such and such. Here, Lord, take this aggravation. He says, I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted. If your feelings have been hurt, you've been disappointed, whatever, Jesus came to heal that. I am convinced, y'all listening to me? I am convinced Jesus can and will heal anything. That's the reason he came. But we must let him do it and get all the buts out. I know, but you don't understand. But, kick the buts out and take God at his word. Amen. But you see, but listen to me. You got to give it to him and go free. So he said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. If anything's holding you captivity, you release it to him right now. The recovery of sight to the blind. Hallelujah. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, if I'm not mistaken, that talk about how that the devil blind the minds of people when it comes to the hearing of the gospel. And that's the reason, brothers and sisters, listen to me, and I'm getting ready to close, but that's the reason we must continue to intercede. Amen. My wife and I was talking last night, and is everybody looking at me? If you're looking at me, raise your hand. Now, if you don't raise your hand, I'm gonna thank you. Sleep. All right. Thank you. Listen to me. God has called each and every one of us to be intercessors. I know some folks said, "Well, God's given me the ministry of intercession." That's good and fine. You know, you intercede, but all of us are supposed to be intercessors. Why? So that the blinders will fall off of the eyes of those that hear the gospel, and they'll be able to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He came so the blind could see. Not just physical blindness. He heals that too. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. But he also heals spiritual blindness. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Hallelujah. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he went on to teach them that this scripture is fulfilled. I want to tell you something. Salvation has come. Whatever your need is, give it to Jesus. And whatever you do, stay full of the Word of God. Become an intercessor. Pray. If you're saved and you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Can I tell you something? Brothers and sisters, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because our salvation has come. And God is using you and me to get this word out to those that are hurting. And to pray for those that are hurting. You hear me? I say, do you hear me?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I'm doing things just a little bit different. But I want you to bow your head.